Good morning, Pastor Heaton here on the Bible Baptist Hour, and thank you so much for joining us. We have been studying in the book of James. We are in lesson number 11, chapter 5, and we have one more lesson to go, and our study in the book of James will be over. Let me give you some information first. Bible Baptist Church located in Lupton on the east side of the road. No matter which way you come into town, you can find us. Big sign in the parking lot says some information about our church. If you don't know that information, you're driving by the church, just right there on the sign. 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock the morning service, evening service 6 o'clock, and midweek is Thursday at 7 o'clock. This week, of course, is camp meeting week, and that starts today. And we'll have Brother Chad Reese with us for the week. And each night, 7 o'clock at the Tabernacle down on 2906 East Heath Road. That's 2906 East Heath Road here in Lupton. And we'd love to have you come and be with us sometime if you can. As always, we want you to know that you should be in a local church. We believe in the local church. We don't want to be your church. We don't want to be your pastor. Unless, of course, you're coming to church here, then I'm your pastor. This is your church. But other than that, the radio station is a supplement to the church. It's a wing of the church. It's to help the church out, and it's to help out the community and to do other things. So please find yourself a local church. Get in it. Get involved with it. Back the pastor. Pray for the church. Do what you can to help the church. So many people today are find something wrong with the church. Something's wrong with the church. Something's wrong with the church. But nothing's ever wrong with them. Maybe sometime you need to get on the floor and say, Lord, what's wrong with me? All right, that's how revival starts, with one person, not with a whole bunch of people, but one person. Maybe you could start it. Wouldn't that be grand? All right, we're going to get into chapter 11 in just a moment. Well, thank you for listening. Listen to our announcer at the end of our program. We'll give you some information how to get a hold of us. Please copy it down and do that. So, without any further ado from me, let's get into lesson chapter 11. And as we said in the opening, this is chapter 11. We are in chapter 5 of James, but in chapter 11 of our lessons. And I think, if I'm correct, we have one more to go, and the book of James will be in the history book for us. Verse 2 and 3 we spoke of last week are pretty much self-explanatory. I do want to comment upon verse 3, the phrases, the last days, and we quickly identify the period of time to which James is referring to, tribulation period. We know the Bible, that phrases refer to periods of time in which Israel will face judgment of God for her sin. Of course, the rest of the world, especially the enemies of Israel, will be punished as well. But this is not the place to deal with that. I just wanted to get that context correctly. In verse 4, James says, Behold, the hire of the laborer who has reaped down the fields, which is of you keep back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. So let's look at the first verse. The Lord of Sabaoth is a Greek form of the word the Lord of Hosts from the Old Testament. Isaiah 13:4. Paul also uses this phrase in Romans 9:29. The companion phrase used 245 times in the Old Testament is the Lord of Hosts. So when you read that, you'll know where, what period of time you're talking about and what's going to happen. Now, these phrases are in reference to God, who is the head of the armies of Israel. These hosts are also heavenly, as noted in Luke chapter 2, verse 13. I wish we had time to look those up and go over that with you, but we don't. And in the New Testament, the saints are referred to as soldiers in 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, and Philemon 1, 2, and I'm sure one or two others. So our journey here on this earth is, I know probably some people won't like this, but it's a military one, as we're in the battle against spiritual enemies. Now, our fight isn't with flesh and blood. Our fight is with spiritual things. We're reminded that that it's a fight. 1 Corinthians 9:26 and 1 Timothy 6:12 tells us about keeping up the defense and to be sure it's a good one. In Ephesians 6:11 through 19, we are commanded to put on the whole armor of God. So in this fickle age of, non-militant people that don't want to be in a battle, you are in one, whether you like it, whether you're not. And this is an army you can't get out of. There's no, discharge from this army. You're into it. And then the Lord comes back on his horse and you come back with him with thousands of his saints. You're in war, man. You're in war. You say, well, I don't like that preacher. Well, not much you can do about it. It is what the Bible says it is. So let's consider the first part of the verse in relationship to what we've discussed. The Lord of hosts, this God of war, hears the cries of those who have been defrauded by the rich. And you can be sure he's coming to settle the score. Now, I know some people won't like that kind of talk, but you'll get over it if you just sit still for a while. I want to show you how much the new Bibles, if you dare call them that, attack with subtlety the truth of the Word of God. The corruptors who wrote the NIV make the end of verse 4 read, the ears of the Lord Almighty. Now, the Greek word for sabbath is, and I don't have any way to get you a picture of it, and it means host or armies of the Almighty. It is not given as a translation. Thus, the godly scholars have once again destroyed a cross-reference system so that the saint of God could not study his Bible and learn the truth. Don't let the liars fool you for a minute. They are not trying to give you a Bible. You can understand. They are trying to take it from you. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to hear that kind of talk, but that, my friend, is what's going on. Now, let's look at verse 5 and verse 6. And notice, if you will, he says this, you live in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just one, and he doth not resist you. The word ye here will no doubt be in reference to the Jews. Remember what we said, the 12 tribes scattered abroad, one chapter 1. He tells them that they have lived in pleasure. They have been unrestrained, wanton in their desires and activities, and they have been capricious, changed without an apparent reason in their affection, and now the hammer has come down. They, that's the Jews, had killed the just one, Acts 7:52. Look it up, Acts 7:52. And God called it, did not resist and stop them. He could have, but he didn't. Why? God's payday is coming. Be patient, verse 7, verse 8, listen. Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. And that's literal rain, okay? And I don't have time to get into that, because that deals with all this junk you're hearing about climate control, all right? They have no control. There is no way to control the climate. God controls the climate. You can build electric cars until they run out your earlobes, and you will not change the environment. Now, you can't get that through their head because they're educated. They got a degree in Scientology, you know. They're crazy, man. They're crazy. So he says, verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Then he says in verse 8, be also patient. So, gotta wait. I know you've been hearing about the Lord coming forever and he didn't come. Be patient. Establish your hearts for, listen. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, I know that's Advent. I understand that. But for you and I as saints, that's a real blessing. Just be patient. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff you don't like. Just be patient. Patience is a virtue that all of us need to work on. Patience, well, there's something we all have a problem with. I just got through saying that. Luke 21:18, the Lord says, in your patience possess ye your souls. Go slow, brethren. Know what reason to be in a hurry. In studying the context of that verse, we find it dealing with the end times, the tribulation, verse 3, and I don't have time to go back to verse 3. All right? It'll no doubt be difficult for those people in the coming of the Lord to be faithful to the Lord and keep a testimony, knowing that what awaits all who do not take the mark. See, if they wait for the Lord to come in that rapture out of the tribulation saints, when they're waiting for that, they realize what's going to happen until the Lord comes. So I imagine being faithful. Listen, I've heard people say, well, I'm going to wait for the tribulation. Listen, you can't handle today's trouble. What would you do with tribulation? You wouldn't know what to do with tribulation if it socks you in the eyeball. We have it so easy, folks. I'm telling you, we have nothing to grind about. The husbandman is the Father, God, as told to us in John 15:1. He will one day restore his people, the fruit of the earth, according to Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2. I give you these references, and I wish I had time to look them all up, but I don't. So you take the time, write them down, look them up later. Isaiah 4, 2, God's going to restore. God has patience for it. And so he tells Israel to have patience. Now you just think on that for a while. God is showing patience and waiting for the moment when he can restore his people. Sometimes we need to think. We're not the only ones that are patient. God's patient. You know what? When we get to heaven one day, the Lord said, well, I was patient with you. I should have knocked you in the head, but I didn't. The early and latter rain I spoke about a while ago, but think on this, if you will, for just a moment. It's almost always a reference to the second advent. So the cross references to this, see Deuteronomy 11:14, Proverbs 16:15, Jeremiah 3:3. Joel 2:3, and so forth. This rain is literal. It will be something that falls to help in the production of good crops. Consider that if a man cannot buy nor sell without the mark of the beast, how is he going to survive? The rain will be help him to grow food. So God's going to help his people out. That's a great God. He helps you out, doesn't he? Be patient, he says. Be patient. That's hard to do. For the Lord's coming is getting close. Again, consider that this was said nearly 2,000 years ago. And it still has not happened, yet he says it was nigh. Now, we remember, I'm going to stick something right here, but remember the Lord said in Peter, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years in one day. So what is time to the Lord? I don't know. I don't even know how to describe time to the Lord because he's never had been under the guise of time. He's never had to wait for anything. He does what he wants at the time he does it. Perhaps this will help you understand what it means to have patience. Verse 9. Grudge not one another against one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Now, a grudge is not a hard thing to understand, but let me just say this. It means to resent or envy another person. We often say something like this. I don't begrudge them such and such. That implies that we're not envious of what they have. One of the rules that God gave to his people dealt with this very thing. Notice he told them in Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So here they are in tribulation. They're not to be grudging one another for what they have. Some might be more than others, and there'll be no envy or resentment. Do you understand what I'm saying? During this period of time when it would be easy to say, well, look at his corn grew better than my corn. Look at he's got more watermelons than I did. Lord said they won't be grudging. They all realize that they will not be long before the judge. He does what? Standeth before the door. The judge is standing before the door, which will surely have something to do with those male virgins in Matthew 25 and also in Luke 13:25. And you say, preacher, what's that all about? I don't have the time to tell you. I really don't. I wished I did. But look up Matthew 25. You remember the virgins? Five wise, five foolish. Remember that? Remember the story? And the wise had oil when the Lord was coming, and the foolish had run out of oil, and he said, you go and buy it. So you know it's not the Holy Spirit. You know it's not the rapture. You know it's not the church. But it's these tribulation saints going out. They weren't ready. That's the best I can do with it, folks, because it gets involved. Now, we certainly can make some practical application to the saints this age, being ready to face the judge. The context is without question that of the tribulation, but the latter half of the verse, and Israel get ready to meet God for judgment. I think that I think most people understand the Bible clear. They just don't want to believe what they read. Now you say here in verse 10, he says, "Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." That's not real difficult to understand. James is simply saying, consider Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Daniel, Hosea, Micah, and so on, for examples of suffering. This, without a doubt, is supposed to be of some consolation to those who will be going through some suffering and affliction during the tribulation. Now, your suffering will be done on this earth right now as soon as the Lord comes, before the Lord comes. So don't cry about it, whine about it. It's going to be taken care of. He's going to fix it. It's good to know here that the last word in the verse is patience, for our example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. These all experienced suffering and affliction, but it was done in patience. Have you ever said something like this to one of your children? Just be patient, I'll get to it. But Mom, I wonder how many times the Lord has said, just be patient, I'm going to get done to it. We go, but Lord, I'm getting tired of this earth. The Lord said, just be patient. We're in such a hurry to get where we're going. And when we get there, it's judgment time. Are you ready for that? Are you really ready for judgment? You think so? You think you're really ready to face the Lord today? What if he were to come back right now? You really ready to face him? Are you? Are you sure? You better be, because we're all going to have to face him someday. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do, but we're going to have to face him someday. That's an awesome thought to me. An awesome thought. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job, have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And I don't mean the Lord's pitiful as in, well, you're a pity, Lord. He's very pitiful in showing his mercy to us, is what it is. He's of tender mercy. He could say, you know, I'm sick and tired of you. This is it. I'm going to knock you in a block in. But instead, you know what he does? He said he shows you mercy. Isn't that a great God? That's a great God. Interesting that Job should be brought into context here, as that book is 42 chapters long and exactly the number of the month of the Great Tribulation. See Revelation 13, 1 through 5. So hence we learn that Job is going to show people how to endure the comfort of your friends and the persecution of Satan. You said, preacher, say that one more time. Did you say comfort of your friends? Yes. And the lesson before me has parentheses around friends. They were supposedly Job's friends. Read the story. They were supposedly Job's friends. But you know what they did? Man, they about sold him out. James reminds them to be patient and to remember that Job suffered, and yet God was very pitiful. Very. That word is right before pitiful. Very pitiful. I mean, it was more than just pitiful. He was very pitiful and showed him his tender mercies. You say, how did he do that? Did you read the last chapter? If you didn't read the last chapter, you need to go read the last chapter and see what the Lord did for Job. Job might have had a hard time. Job might have had some friends that were questionable. But Job had a God that was very pitiful. Very pitiful. To show pity implies that one feels sorry or compassion on another for their suffering or their plight. And I don't have time to develop that thought concerning Job, but when I think about what God let Job go through, what a blessing that he saw all of it, showed Job some pity that his friends didn't think he deserved, and he was in the mess he was in because of the sin he committed. Wouldn't we all be in trouble if the Lord just did that? While the word pitiful in one form or another can occur around 15 times, this is not true with the word mercy. The word mercy or merciful occurs over 300 times, and many of these deal with the Lord's action toward us. Such a place as Psalms 25:6, Psalm 40:11, and a dozen other verses. I don't have time to list them all for you, but you get a concordance and you can find them. And so on, tells us of the mercy of the God toward us, even when we do not deserve such. Tell me something, my friend. I know you can't speak to me literally, but tell me something. How many of you think you deserve the mercy you got? Well, how many of you think, well, the Lord should have been better to me than that. Look what I've done for him. How many of you think you've done something so rich and so sweet that the Lord said, oh, nobody's ever done that for me? Thank God for his tender mercies and for the pity he shows towards us. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we don't deserve it, but he has been very, 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 very good to us. All right, verse 12. Above all those things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. So these verses go along with the passage in Matthew 5, 34 through 37. And again, we're dealing with material for the Jewish kingdom and the last days. In Matthew, the Lord says, verse 34, chapter 5, by saying, you swear not at all, neither by heaven, where is God's throne, neither by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whosoever is more than that becometh of evil. The followers of William Penn, who lived between 1644 and 1718, called the Quakers, took these orders serious. When in court, they would only answer yea or nay, and they would not raise their hands to swear to tell the truth. We might laugh at that and think, they're so silly. I mean, but at least they knew what was wrong to swear. Do you know that? James says, when they failed to do such, watch our mouth leads to condemnation. The Lord said that whatsoever come of this type of talk led to evil. Perhaps there is no connection, but I can't help but think of 1 Corinthians 15:33, where we are told, evil communication corrupts good manners. How about Ephesians 4:31, where we are warned about evil speaking? And I could go on, but I believe you get the picture. Well, it is time, believe it or not, it is time for us to end our program today. And I hope you'll listen closer to our announcers. He'll give you an address where you can write to us. And please, 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 please take the time to drop us a note and let us know. All right? Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.